Enjoy fun adventures as you sail away together and experience the extraordinary marriage you desire. Join us in April 2025 for the Six Pillars at Sea Marriage Getaway. Yes, we are taking Six Pillars cruising and we want you to join us. Get all the details at oneextraordinarymarriage.com/getaway. Use promo code SHIPSAHOY to get $500 off your registration today. We'll see you there.
From San Diego, California, this is the One Extraordinary Marriage Show. Where being busy is overdone, romancing is fun, and scheduling sex has taken the guesswork out of wondering when you're going to get some. I'm Tony DeLorenzo, your co-host, along with my beautiful wife, Elisa. From coast to coast and around the world, thank you for joining us. It's time to talk sex, love, and commitment. Give us a call or text us on the Hug Hotline at 858-876-5663, or send us an email to hugs@oneextraordinarymarriage.com. On today's show, we talk about vocalizing your pleasure during sex when you moan or make other noises.
And I want you to think about this quote as we open today's show. Hearing you moan is the sexiest sound ever.
I would agree.
Some of you are just like, you're going to just pause right there on that quote. You're gonna, you're thinking, is that true? Well, that's why we're doing today's show. But first, we start every One Extraordinary Marriage show with a hug. And this hug comes from a post that was in the One Family group. And, you know, one of the beautiful things about the hugs is that it's an opportunity for you to hear what other couples are doing, how they're having breakthrough. And this couple starts with, today is day 100 of our sex challenge and still going. That's 100 for those of you that are like, did she just say 100? I did.
Unbelievable.
They say, wow,
yeah.
Didn't mean for it to be a challenge per se, but it has ended up that way. Now, every day, I find myself in awe of how fantastic marriage and sex can be again.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this next line. It all was rekindled after 30 years. These are not newlyweds.
Unbelievable.
30 years. Because of finding and listening to this podcast, it has opened up the lines of communication that had been closed off somehow after years of up and down humdrum marriage. Can't thank you guys enough. 100 days, 30 years married. Don't tell me that you can't transform your marriage.
That's a we did it like no other. I love it.
I'm just saying, you know, because clearly we're talking about sex in today's show. If we're talking about moaning and vocalization, and you know, you get a hug like this that comes in, and it's just like, I mean, could it have been any more perfect? Because I'm pretty sure in 100 days, there was likely some vocalization going on for this couple.
I would think so.
And you know, for Tony and I, we had recently had sex in the house. Everybody was in their own room, you know, kids, you know, our roommate, everybody was in their own rooms, and we knew that everybody was home and likely everyone was awake.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so because of this, we had to be more quiet than we would if we've got the house to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so the next day I had, I'd made the comment to Tony that it was amazing how good sex can be even when you have to be conscious of the sounds that you're making. And I have to tell you, this is such a far cry from the Elisa that Tony married almost 25 years ago. Tony's like, okay, say whatever you want to say about me 25 years ago. Go for it.
No. I mean, sex 25 years ago in specifically around vocalization or mm-hmm. moaning was non-existent.
Yeah.
For sure. And it was interesting though, because Elisa even making that where there were still sounds, vocalization, even though we knew everybody was awake, and how intense it was, even in that sort of muffled, I don't want to say sort of suppressed, but it wasn't suppressed because there was still this this intensity that was happening, even though it wasn't what we would normally think about moaning or vocalization would happen during sex.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so funny because I think back to early married Elisa, EMA, early married Elisa. And vocalization, like Tony would beg me to give him some clue as to what was going on. And so
yeah.
I share all of that to say that it's a journey, right? As we enter into the show, it's a journey because it's not just... It's not just our marriage that has experienced this dynamic, but you know, think about what we see, right? If you watch anything that has a sex scene in it, right? And that's pretty much all TV and movies these days. You don't really see quiet sex scenes, right? That's generally not there's verbalization, there's vocalization, there people are making sounds. That's partly how you know it is, because like you could be in the other room and you're like, oh, that clearly is a sex scene. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that conditions us to think, oh, it has to sound a certain way.
Right.
And so we're conditioned to go, okay, well, I don't know if I can sound like that. Right. And so a lot of times that will prevent us.
Or it's the, we don't sound like that, or I don't sound like that. And so exactly where you're going with that, it prevents us from actually engaging in our sexual intimacy in this way, in that vocalization or that moaning or groaning, whatever it may be for you, because you're putting yourself up against a standard mm-hmm. that isn't honestly attainable. And you know what? It's not you.
Right. Yeah. And I was just thinking too, the other part of that is that you're often in those portrayed scenes, and that's what I'm just going to call it. All of the vocalization is really around orgasm.
True.
Right. I mean, go back to When Harry Met Sally, right? The quintessential scene of her, you know, literally faking the orgasm. So making those sounds, but it was all about the sound related to orgasm. And I think we've also been conditioned to think that vocalizations only come around orgasm. So it's not necessarily, even if we're having pleasure, it's just, oh, this is the time and place where you orgasm. And it's like, well, hold on a second. Sexual intimacy isn't just orgasm. Like, we didn't call it orgasm intimacy. It's titled sexual intimacy because it's all your sexual behaviors. So just kind of thinking through that, even as we're talking, like that hadn't actually come up even as I was preparing the show, that when do we associate sounds, right? Are we quiet up until the point of orgasm? And this goes for both men and women. Or can we start to expand our horizons to go, what does it look like to actually be able to share the pleasure leading up to orgasm, right? And there's
actually— Can I just share one thing? And as we talk about this, this is for both husband and wife.
Thank you. That's a good point.
Because Elisa says something, these sex scenes that are portrayed, typically it is only the woman that you will hear. That is typically what is happening. Mm-hmm. And I will say, guys, you also need to come to your marriage bed and your sexual intimacy with an ability to express pleasure so your spouse can understand what's going on. And that, again, is something that Elisa and I have had to learn over the years. She you know, was just talking about herself in the early years of me saying, hey, come on. But I think, and actually I know, it wasn't like I was over there vocalizing myself either. That has become a learned skill and something that we've been able to build together throughout years of just testing and trying and going, okay, what happens if I do open up my mouth? So guys, this is also you as well.
And I'm glad you bring that up, because I think a lot of women feel like the vocalization has to fall on their shoulders. And so because of that, there's actually been quite a bit of research done on women and vocalization. And there was an article in the Archives of Sexual Behavior in June of 2011 that just talked about, like, when do women tend to vocalize. And I just want to say, this is piggybacking on Tony's last comment, that even though the study was done for women, I actually think these principles could apply to men. Mm-hmm. Women vocalize to speed things up or out of boredom or if they're in pain. And I just want to, side note, if you are in pain, please tell your spouse. And if your spouse tells you they're in pain, stop what you're doing and figure out what's going on. Women will vocalize to make their husbands feel good. And sometimes they just don't vocalize because don't want the kids to hear, or anybody else living in your house. There's this perception that good girls don't do that. Maybe it feels awkward or embarrassing, or you're faking it because you're just not being stimulated. And again, you're trying to rush things, right? And so we get into this place where whether you're vocalizing or you're not, it gets really confusing, because sometimes people vocalize when things are good and sometimes people vocalize, but sometimes people just don't vocalize at all. Mm-hmm. And so we need to actually take a look at this, because we humans were like notoriously good at complicating our sex lives. Like something that could be so beautiful and so simple, we can actually, through that lack of vocalization, create an environment in our marriages where there's confusion, where there's doubt, where there's insecurity. Because think about it. If you want to know how your spouse is doing, you read their body language and you also listen to what they're saying. Right? So their body language may still be saying, yeah, we're doing this. But if you aren't getting some of those verbal cues, let's say you got your eyes closed. You don't have any verbal cues. You don't actually know. You literally could just be going through the motions because there's nothing auditory being spoken there. And it can get you to this place where you get in your head, literally, and I'm talking about the head on top, not for guys, not the lower head, and be wondering, okay, like I'm, did my spouse have an orgasm? Right? Is he into it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Was the sex good? Did I do okay? Did he like it? Was she faking it? You can get into all, like, there's no communication, and I'm going to, you know, we're talking moaning, we're talking, you know, vocalizations that could be like, hey, that feels really good. Or I like it when you do that, or touch me there, or more, whatever that vocalizations, like, we're not giving you a prescribed Bible of vocal, sexual vocalizations. It's going to be this experimentation of what works for the two of you. But what I want to say is that as extraordinary couples, we actually need to step into a place where we bring the emotional intimacy along for the ride when we're engaging in sexual intimacy. Your pillars do not stand by themselves.
Correct.
Right? They all have to be strong, but they are so intertwined, you guys. This is a prime example of emotional intimacy and sexual intimacy literally being married in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget, emotional intimacy is that verbal and nonverbal communication. Mm-hmm. So verbal is us talking. That nonverbal communication can be the cues that we have, but it could also be those moans, those mm-hmm. those that vocalization of pleasure that we are sharing with one another during sex. And this can be, hey, this can be as you're in foreplay, mm-hmm. right? This is foreplay leading up to orgasm, whatever that may be.
And it's, you know, we have to look at it because researchers, actually Dr. Emily Morse, went and, you know, was looking at this correlation between moans and inhibition and arousal, and okay. found that there's a direct correlation between increasing moans, lowering inhibitions, and enhancing arousal. And so getting to this place where the more you moan, basically, okay. if I can extrapolate on this, the more you moan, it's, or verbalize, lowers your inhibitions and can enhance arousal. And I love how she actually goes into this a little bit more and says an authentic moan, keyword, authentic, the fake ones don't count, will naturally open our throats and deepen our breath, which can lead to more powerful orgasms.
Which I think that's interesting. So naturally, because I'm just taking us back to a place where there was that good season there of faking.
Oh, yeah. I was a pro, guys. Yeah. I was a total pro.
And I think about that season and where we are now, how it's you can tell it. You can feel it. And the orgasm, the intensity of the orgasm has completely changed for you.
Oh, I am, like, I think back on my fake orgasms compared to my real orgasms. And I got to tell you, real is so much better. Like not even in the same. And part of the reason for this, and I just want to explain this real quick.
Yeah, please.
And to give you an analogy that she uses. So I'm totally borrowing this from Dr. Emily. She shares that it's kind of like if you watch a tennis match, right? And some of the greatest tennis players, what do you hear them do as they're hitting their shot?
They grunt.
Really loudly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, incredible. And I used to think, I'm like, oh, that's so annoying. Like, why do some of these people do this? Because others don't. Well, statistically speaking, it actually increases and puts more power on those shots. Like, so they, that inhalation, exhalation sound and everything that their body does in that moment gives them more empower, makes their shots more intense. If it's good for the tennis players,
then it's the same thing for us, is that when we're moaning and vocalizing, that allows us to have that intensity mm-hmm. during our sexual intimacy.
And I know some of you are thinking, okay, Tony Lisa, that's great. So we've got this whole tennis analogy that, you know, if I grunt more, it'll be more intense. You're telling me that, you know, it'll create, like, you figured it out, but what about us? Mm-hmm. Right. And we get it. We know that when we do a show like this, there are some of you rolling your eyes right now and going, I don't think this is going to work. I don't know if this will work for me. Mm-hmm. So what we need to do is we need to dig deeper into this, get past that place of being awkward or weird. And we're going to do that after this break.
You're probably not surprised to hear that things like stress, hormone fluctuations, and lack of sleep can affect your skin. I know I'm dealing with all of it. From dry skin to dark spots and acne, your complexion might not be where it used to be, which is totally normal. But today's sponsor, OneSkin, can help. They have a simple skincare routine that tackles skin issues like these at the cellular level. I know how many products you can have, but the simplicity of OS One Face and OS One Eye makes my life so easy. And I can tell you that the OS One Eye is making a difference on my crow's feet and under eye areas. I have two products, not a whole counterful of them. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code OEM at OneSkin.co. That's 15% off OneSkin.co with code OEM. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support this show and tell them we sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
We're back. And we're talking about moaning or other vocalizations during sex. And yeah, as I was prepping for the show, the song from The Sound of Music went through my head. Let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. because you know, we need to get into this place where you start going, okay, do we even talk about sex like outside of the bedroom? Right? Because the ability to vocalize and explain what's going on with you inside of the bedroom, it actually comes from an overflow of your comfort level for the two of you being able to talk about sex. Mm-hmm. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when Tony and I, you know, started with the 60 Day Sex Challenge and started talking about sex more frequently and more comfortably, I mean, people routinely tell us, I can't believe how comfortable you are with the word sex. I'm like, it's just parvo. But the easier this conversation got between that, the easier it was to talk about A, what was happening in the bedroom, or even to be fully present, engaged, and verbal in the bedroom.
Yeah. And that comfortability came over time. And because of that, Elise and I realized there were 19 questions that we had of each other when it came to our sexual intimacy. And so we have an awesome guide called 19 Questions to Amazing Sex. You guys can check it out at oneextraordinarymarriage.com/19questions. But that engages that emotional intimacy. Mm-hmm. Go on a drive, pull that out, and ask each other some questions. Now, you don't have to answer and ask all 19 in one shot. You may take a half a day and just go for it. Mm-hmm. For some of you, awesome. Go do that. For others of you, you need some self-confidence. Like you need to build that confidence between each other again. And we get that. We go through those times even in our sexual intimacy. Mm-hmm. We still go through those times where it's sort of ebbing and flowing and we need to build up our confidence again. So we'll pull out our 19 questions and we'll start asking those again. Like, what's it like? What do you want? So I understand again, because we're in this new season. We're in this new place. Things have changed a bit.
Absolutely. And, you know, as you go through that, you're going to learn about your spouse, right? You're going to learn about yourself, right? Even you answering these questions will help you just to get more clarity, right? And the more clarity that you have about self really translates into what the two of you do in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And after you've gone through that, or even just started that exercise of going through those questions, you got to get in touch with the person that you walk around with all day. That mm-hmm. would be you, right? Why do you or don't you vocalize, right? Seriously, like pretend Tony and I were sitting across the table from you and asking you the question, you know, do you vocalize, yes or no? If the answer is yes, why? Mm-hmm. If the answer is no, why? Right? Start going on this journey of figuring out where you've been, right? Because it's literally impossible, folks, to communicate what's going on with you if you don't know yourself.
And I just want to say with this vocalization, there's a beauty to it. There's something about that within your marriage bed that allows the two of you to connect. Mm-hmm. And I just want to share that you need to take the thoughts of what you've seen or what you've heard through movies, TV, whatever. This is about you guys. Mm-hmm. And I think the faster you begin to get to this place where it's you and your spouse, this is you guys making this amazing moment, mm-hmm. going on this amazing sexual intimacy journey, that's where you get to this place where you're like, oh, I can moan like that? Great. Again, it's how you guys do it.
And I would say I can moan instead of I can moan like that, because don't compare yourself to anyone else.
That's right.
Right. I mean, I think there was probably a, like going back to When Harry Met Sally, I think there was probably a generation of women who loved that movie. And there was probably a generation of men who every orgasm sounded like the scene in the diner. Just straight up. It was there on TV. We thought that's what it had to sound like, or in the movies. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I love that movie. Okay, this is not a bash on that movie. I'm just saying, from a sexual intimacy standpoint, when you hear things, when you think, oh, this is what my spouse is expecting, this is what I think I'm supposed to do, this is how I think I'm supposed to perform. Let's go back to the research. It only increases the intensity if it's an authentic moan. So if you're pretending to be someone you're not, you're not going to get that intensity. Yeah. Right? You're going to be faking. It's understanding, you know, what does this look like to actually explore this with my spouse? What are my concerns about opening my mouth? And it may be, I think I'm going to sound weird, or it feels really awkward. Well, sure, the first time you rode a bike was really awkward too, but that didn't keep most of you from not riding a bike.
And you'll also learn together that there are different times for different There are different moans and vocalization for different times in different places. It's completely different when there's no one at the home, when there's no one at the house.
100%.
Than when there are. And we experienced that just this week. Mm-hmm. And the intensity was still there. But there's a completely different when you go to a hotel. And those around you, who cares? Like, they can hear you. They would, if that's who you are. I mean, I've been to a place where I'm just like, I don't care if you hear us or you don't. I mean, we're here. We may walk by you. Great. You knew I had an awesome night of sex. Rock on, and I'm never going to see you again. So that can change as well.
Mm-hmm. And it's getting into this place too. And I want to encourage you to ask this question of your spouse this week. How do my vocalizations affect you? Right? When I'm able to vocalize, because I think if we knew and understood, and this goes back to, we've done so many shows on the power of words.
Yeah.
Right. And this is this non-spoken word communication, although for some of you, it may be words, right? Yeah. But we're getting into just general vocalizations. If you knew that those sounds would actually amplify the sexual experience for the two of you, would you be willing to do it? Would you be willing to try it? If you knew that your spouse hearing you vocalize saying, oh, that feels good, or more, or oh, whatever it is, actually increased their sexual pleasure, would you step into that place? Because I know for me, and this goes both ways, but I got the mic right now. I know for me that when I hear Tony, it actually is a turn on. It does get, and it helps my head to stay in the game. It's much harder for me to wander if I hear that he's having pleasure. Because I'm like, oh, well, this is clearly working. Let's do more of this. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to encourage you this week, like the two of you start this conversation, right? How can you create an environment where you choose to vocalize with one another, where you try it, not with, you know, I mean, yes. Have there been times we've made really weird sounds? Tony's laughing. Sure. So you know the answer is yes. Yes.
Sure.
But when it's authentic and it's in the moment, you're fully engaged and fully present, it doesn't matter what the sound is, because ultimately it's a sound of pleasure, and that's a shared sound for the two of you.
Yeah. I just want to say, for those of you who do, continue trying new things, right? Especially when it comes to that vocalization. I think Elisa and I have found this out in our own marriage in the recent past. For those of you who haven't, I'd encourage you this week, when you do have sex with your spouse, maybe even before that, just talk and be like, hey, this week, this next time we have sex, I'm going to go out and I'm going to start moaning. I'm going to try this. Take the step and know that it's a journey. It's not a one and done. It's not, oh, it just, I did it once and that was it. No, go on that journey, because I will tell you, and Elisa would agree with this, that as we have gone on this of moaning and vocalization, it honestly has strengthened our sexual intimacy.
100%.
So go do that this week. You guys have a great one, and we'll catch you next week. Love you guys.